5633.
Played on the Hill just a short while ago. Death to the public option. That from the Senate Finance Committee. What does it all mean? We'll break it down as they were burning the midnight oil in D.C. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Also, sadly, we're going to have to fill in the blanks when it comes to that earthquake near Samoa. Tsunami causing massive deaths. Just 8 on the Richter scale is the latest that I heard in a quick conversation with somebody before I jumped on the air. An 8 magnitude rocking the Richter scale. Awful, awful stuff. Villages completely wiped out. And, of course, odds and ends coming your way as well. You can bet, and I know this was happening on the Hill, that some of the aides were twittering during during the arguments that were going on during the lively debate. Joining us now, Shama Kabani. She's an expert, the queen of twittering, if you will, the president of Click to Client. So many people just starting to wrap their brains around this idea of what is a tweet, what is Twitter, how can I use it, and what about Facebook and everything else that you could take advantage of with the internet. And as I said, politicians are doing it. President Obama, obviously, gets elected partially because he has the youth movement, and in getting the youth movement, it was all about the internet and a lot of that social networking that was going on that I just described that is happening now with politicians. Shama, thanks for jumping on America Tonight with us. We appreciate it.
Hey, Kate, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, as I said, this is happening now a lot with news media, although the Washington Post, they could have put a kibosh on that. They said, no, we don't want, they put what they call the Twitter handcuffs on the staff there, which I think is kind of crazy. But otherwise, tweeting has become enormous. How many people tweet, do you think, now?
The numbers are up there. It's definitely in the millions. And I think the last I checked, Twitter had 60 million users.
Boy, that's incredible. You can bet they're going to be able to sell that for a pretty penny. What is it that people don't understand about tweeting? I mean, I have a Twitter account, and I always get the same question from people. Well, I don't get it. What's the deal with using Twitter? Because I think that people just go on, and this is what people have told me, they think that people just go on and say, well, I just picked up my paper, I just had a cup of Joe, I just did this, and they think it's just useless banner back and forth. But I don't think so. I think that it's a pretty good marketing tool. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, Kate, it's absolutely a global human search engine. And that's how I always like to, you know, for people to think about it. Because they think of Twitter and they think, well, it's got to be like other social networking sites. But it's not. It's really what you make of it. So if you're a politician and you're following, you know, lobbyists who are talking about specific things and you follow them on Twitter and you're keeping up with that, that becomes your own, you know, private search engine, if you will. You can find out what's going on in any part of the world on any topic. And that's really why Twitter is so powerful.
And when you get started, what are the common mistakes that people make? I was talking to a colleague the other day, and he said to me that he was doing it all wrong because he was told that the people who follow you, you know, it'll say so-and-so is following you now, that he would turn around and follow them. But that's not necessarily what you have to do, right?
Right. I mean, you certainly can, right? But it's not mutual. Like on Facebook, for example, if I was to friend you, you'd have to friend me. But on Twitter, I can certainly follow you if I find your insights useful, but you don't necessarily have to follow me back. One of the biggest mistakes I see people making when it comes to Twitter is that they don't have a purpose. Just like you said earlier, you know, they're going on there saying, here's what I had for breakfast, or I'm dropping the kids off to school, or whatever it is. They're not really there with a clear goal in mind. They really don't know what they're using Twitter for.
So what with your company, because now, of course, lots of companies are springing up with this. And I know that, like I said, you're the queen of Twitter and other ways to use the Internet and social marketing. So you get out there. And what do you find when you start to work with these companies? I mean, are you starting from ground zero in a lot of cases, trying to lay the groundwork and explain to certain businesses how this could work to their advantage?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's a new concept. You know, it's to think of the world and people as your search engine, as your go-to people. I mean, social media is all about the people become the media. You know, there used to be a time where a reviewer for the local paper would go into a restaurant, write a review up, and that would be it. That one critic would determine, you know, how well that restaurant would do, at least for the year, because people would look to that critic to say, you know, is the food any good? But now every single person who eats at that restaurant is essentially a critic. They can go, they can tweet, they can say they liked it or they didn't like it. And so for businesses, I think it's a hard concept at first anyways to wrap your mind around to say, how can we leverage this? How can we leverage the fact that people are now the media?
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Okay, Shama, tell everybody, when did you start this? I love it when we have entrepreneurs on who start at young age. How old were you when you started your first business?
Well, my first business was at 9.
What was that?
Was at 9, so that's fairly young. But I started Click the Client at 22.
Wow, so 22. But well, I'm curious, when you were 9, what was the business?
You know, I sold gift wrapping paper from a catalog.
Good for you. So you must have wanted to make money early, wanted to control your destiny. What do you think it was that drove you to start so young?
Yeah, I think I was the eldest, and I was, you know, my parents were immigrants, and So I see them working hard, and I really wanted to. I had that drive. I always wanted to do something and be productive. My younger sister always says that she thinks of me when she looks at Dora the Explorer because I was very industrious. So I think it was just all those things that combined. But just I loved coming up with ideas even as a kid.
So do you think now, Miss Idea? Do you think more and more businesses, if they don't become a little bit more savvy when it comes to the virtual world, they're going to get left behind like dinosaurs, don't you think? I think so. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, like, you have this wonderful power and you can really keep up. It's kind of like, Kate, what 1-800 numbers were, toll-free numbers were, email accounts were. You know, at first it was cool if a company had it, but now you expect the company to have it. Wouldn't it be weird if a company didn't have, like, a toll-free number if they were a big company or if they didn't have an email address that you could reach them at? And I think you raise the bar of expectation, and then consumers expect it. Then you're looking at businesses, and people are like, well, why aren't they on Twitter? Right? People start expecting more because you've given them more options.
Yeah, no kidding. And I'll tell you what, imagine if you're so right on that. Imagine if you had a business, I don't care if it's a little business, a big business, whatever it is, and they don't have a website. They have to have a website. Have to. Because that's what people look for. Everybody Googles. I don't care if you're 85 or you're 10. Everybody understands the power of Googling and finding more information out about whatever it is. And it's a quick way to get to businesses, so that would be a very big mistake. Shama, thanks so much for coming on. Click2client.com if you guys want to check that out. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again down the road.
My pleasure. Thanks so much, Kate.
You're welcome. Shama Kabani. And it's interesting, I brought up the Twitter thing because that's what you see. You'll see videos streaming out of even the White House. You know, they're looking down and they're tweeting what's happening. I want to know who's tweeting out of the actual White House, though, because I've seen a couple of funky names that are on the list. You know it's not Obama, right? But who is it, right? Who is it? Who's the leak? Who's the tweet? We're talking about ghosts next on America Tonight.
If you're looking for a company that will meet and exceed your water purification needs, you need to visit purewaterfreedom.com. If you're concerned about contaminants in your water, such as fluoride, chlorine, pharmaceutical drugs, arsenic, and even iron or rust, purewaterfreedom.com has a water purification system perfect for your home or office. Purewaterfreedom.com carries state-of-the-art water filters for every application, including countertop, undersink, shower and bath, whole house, ultraviolet sterilizers, fluoride filters, and reverse osmosis systems that remove fluoride fluoride in pharmaceutical drugs, and much more. Installation takes moments, so you'll be enjoying crisp, clean, satisfying water in no time. Not sure which water purification system will work best for you? Log on or call today to speak with a water purification specialist. Call 1-866-757-7644. That's 1-866-757-7644. Or visit purewaterfreedom.com. Purewaterfreedom.com, the best filtered water in the world.
There are many guarantees in this world. The closest I can come to a guarantee is that the dollar is going to zero. During the great hyperinflation in Weimar, Germany, people who had worked all their lives, invested conservatively, were wiped out, reduced to poverty. There are many parallels between the Weimar and the U.S. today. I'll send you a list. There are ways to protect yourself from hyperinflation, gold and silver, and legal and constitutional ways to avoid confiscation, which is becoming highly probable. I'm Bob Moss with Midas Resources. Many of the people I talk to today are aware of trouble coming but haven't taken action to protect themselves. There is, in fact, a financial tsunami coming, and it could fall upon us quickly with little warning. Don't procrastinate. Protect yourself. Call me today, Bob Moss, at 800-686-2237, extension 111. That's Bob Moss, Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 111. Again, that's Bob Moss, 800-686-2237, extension 111.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Because a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
Ooh-hoo.
Ooh-hoo. I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking.
Ooh-hoo.
I think the ghosts that have been invading my space just got us here on America Tonight because they knew April Slaughter was coming up. If you heard that familiar little bit of the theme there, we were going to come in with Ghostbusters, but it just wouldn't work. So I think someone knew we were talking about the paranormal. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, ATN, coming up. We're going to tell you what's happening in Washington and around the country as well. But first, let's talk about ghosts. Our next guest, April Slaughter, has a book out concerning ghosts in Texas, ghost hunting in Texas. I just read a book about ghosts in New Jersey. It seems that wherever I go, there are ghosts following and there are haunted places. April, thanks so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So, first of all, tell us about, I mean, this is what you study. This is what you certainly is your passion, the paranormal. What was it that led you in this direction in the first place? Way before the book and everything else, how did you get started?
Well, like a lot of people that are in the field, I grew up in a haunted home. Back in Utah when I was about 8 years old, we moved into a house that had a lot of activity, and it seemed to mostly happen around me, so I was the one stuck with dealing with all of the crazy phenomena in the house and not having anybody really believe in me. So I just decided that instead of being afraid of it, I would study it and learn as much about it as I could, and here I am.
So in studying it, and by the way, you founded the Paranormal Source. It's a nonprofit research and education corporation that's in Dallas, just in and around the Dallas area. And I think it's that's good for you. You took it from the time you were a kid and then followed it through. I like what you said there, that you wanted explanations and people didn't believe you. What were the, when you were a kid, what kind of things did you see or what was happening that you knew, okay, there's something here? What was it that was going on?
Well, I was the youngest of four kids, and we had bedrooms all over the house, but I was the only one that had a bedroom in the basement at one point. And it was a finished basement, but I had two entrances into my bedroom. It was fairly large. And all during the night, I'd have people, and I mean people that you could see, solid people, just walk into my room in and out both doors, or I'd have my lights turned on or items moved or someone shaking me awake, or I even saw animals in the basement, dogs, cats, that sort of thing. So, and it was fairly often. It wasn't consistent, but it would, happen for a few weeks and then not happen for a month and then happen for a day and not happen for a week. And but it was crazy stuff all the time. I would hear people having conversations. I'd see people moving down the hallways. I was physically touched, never hurt. That has never happened to me. But I've had a lot of experiences, and most of them when I was younger. Now it seems I go looking for them, and they happen a lot less often. But when I was younger, it was a lot. It was quite intense.
And so that was great, vivid detail you gave us. So when you told people, not necessarily your family, but when you told other people about it, they would just, chalk it up to, oh, you must have been dreaming or whatever. They would respond, right?
Sure, it was like she must have an overactive imagination, or she's needing attention for something.
Right.
And, you get to a point where you stop telling people about it. If they're not going to listen, there's really no point in rehashing it. So I just kept it to myself for a lot of years until I just decided to break out and really study it some more.
So when you go ghost hunting, I mean, it's like you said, now you're not, it's tougher for you to find these experiences when it was just happening to you in that particular house. What is it that, how do you do that? I mean, how do you go, if you took me ghost hunting, what are we doing? How do we try to get to this place where we can get this phenomenon?
Well, the way the paranormal source works, is we get contacted by a lot of residents or business owners that have activity, and they want some kind of explanation as to whether or not we think it's legitimate, if somebody's playing a prank, if there's something going on with, plumbing or electrical issues. We go in and we basically set up a lot of equipment. We have a lot of experimental equipment. And we go in and we spend a lot of time and we record our personal experiences and a lot of data on video recorders, audio recorders, electromagnetic field meters, everything you can think of. And we just log it all, review it all, cut it up, analyze it, reanalyze it, and show the clients what we get. So it's a long, drawn-out process. It's not as easy as it looks on TV.
So you really are like a modern-day Ghostbuster.
Yeah, except I'm not capturing them with my proton pack and bringing them home to power my house. I wish it worked that way. But, no, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It can be a lot of fun, but it's a lot of hurry up and wait sometimes. So it's a lot of work. It's not just thrill-seeking that we're after. It's quite tough sometimes.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so a lot of us are fascinated by ghosts. Some of us are doubtful, and,
sure.
You run the gamut. We just discussed that. But what people will ask is, and you address this in the front of your book, we're fascinated, some of us, with it, or repelled by it, or scared, or whatever it is, but why are they here? How do they manifest themselves? Those are the questions you throw out in the beginning, and they're great questions, and they're the questions people want to know. The answer
is sure. I think I have a lot of theories, obviously, on why I think there's spirits still here and around us. I don't think every quote-unquote ghost that you come around isn't necessarily an earthbound spirit. People think, well, there must be some trauma or unfinished business for that person to be here. I don't come across that very often where I think somebody is bound, where they can't move around. I think people have to remember that we're the physical entities on this planet. And when someone passes away, they're no longer bound by physical means, and they can travel just as well as we can, if not better. So I think, our energies kind of interflow with one another, and things come in and out at their own will sometimes. Do I think that, traumatic events happen where, residual energies and stuff are stored? Absolutely. Do I think murder victims might hang out for a while? Yes. But I don't know. My theories are constantly changing because of the experiences I'm constantly having.
Okay, and in your book, the Ghost Hunting in Texas, you point out a lot of specific things and stories. And since I'm in, you know, we have our Big Bad studio in Minneapolis, and I'm in a satellite facility in Dallas, and I've been to a place, because we're on across the country right now for people listening, called the Majestic Theater. What is the thing that haunts the Majestic Theater? What's the ghost story there?
Well, the Majestic Theater has, as you know, as you may or may not know, actually, a lot of theaters put up the ghost light after their performances, and they usually put that up because there's a legend that ghosts will mess with backdrops and whatnot, and they try to give them something else to mess with rather than, you know, messing with the stuff for their shows. So in the Majestic, it's pretty much the same. There's people that talked to me that had experiences in the Majestic that didn't want to be named in the book just because they didn't want to get, you know, any kind of headache from the people that actually run the Majestic today. And there are things that are constantly going on there with backdrops being messed with, or lighting being messed up with no explanation, or hearing voices address people when they're all alone in the building, seeing somebody sitting out in the seats when they're cleaning up that shouldn't be there and just disappears. I don't know who it is. I haven't experienced that particular entity or several entities myself. I've only talked to people about that one because the Majestic doesn't invite investigators in to kind of prove or disprove that phenomenon. So,
yeah, I can understand that. Maybe they'd be worried.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily want that to get out there. Well, I think it's fascinating stuff, and the book is so, so interesting. I got a copy of the book from my pal, Howard Cohen, of course, from your publishing group, and was just thrilled beyond belief. And for people listening, it's a great read, breaking down all the various cities and the stories there, and just the whole idea about ghost hunting. Next time you get a really hot one on the line, you got to invite us to come along with America Tonight, and we'll see if we can uncover some ghost with you.
Oh, we'd love to do that. We'd love to have you along anytime.
All right, I'm gonna get my gear. I swear to you, April, I'm gonna call you, and we're gonna make this happen. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right, April Slaughter, and of course we're talking about the paranormal, paranormalsource.com, if you go and check that out. It really is, her book really is interesting stuff, and it's, you know, it's kind of like she said, very, very matter of fact about it, and the stuff that they do that people want to know if it's just baloney and people are pulling pranks, or is there something more to it in some of these areas. So I found it interesting, and I thought some of you would find it interesting. I think almost anybody listening probably has heard a ghost story or two, whether it's in Connecticut or Illinois or Minnesota or California or Philadelphia or wherever it is, right? Well, this isn't a ghost story. You know, we couldn't make this stuff up. How does it play, healthcare, that is, on the Hill? The latest version, a big one, from the Senate Finance Committee will tell you what happened, wrap it up for you. Coming up around the bend here on America Tonight.
Are you constantly tired? Have a hard time concentrating? Experience muscle weakness or have problems with digestion? The solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body. Liquid Zeolite, available only at RestoreYourHealthNow.com, captures toxins and physically carries them out of your body. This safe and effective way of detoxifying can easily remove heavy metals and contaminants. Studies show that Liquid Zeolite captures triggering antigens which cause allergies, migraines, and asthma, decreasing the rate and severity of these symptoms. Liquid Zeolite is a tasteless and odorless liquid that, when taken daily, supports a healthy, happy, and active lifestyle in an increasingly toxic world. And Liquid Zeolite is so gentle that you won't even know you're taking it. Although your list of ailments may be endless, the solution is simple. Try Liquid Zeolite for yourself by visiting RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Or call 1-800-976-0025. That's 1-800-976-0025 today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
The phone rings and the questions are asked. I've been so sick. Will the Life Change Tea help me? Our answer is always the same. Yes, toxins and chemicals from food, water, and air are attacking you this very moment. Fight back with our all-natural detoxifying tea that works immediately. Many companies use gimmicks and misleading free trials for their campaign. We use results. Life Change Tea's formula, created by a PhD, has been around for over 20 years. There are things happening in the world that are unseen and not healthy. The public has reached its all-time record for chronic sickness. This atrocity won't change unless you call us right now. Our number is 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, we have the cheapest shipping in the industry.
Tonight, the tsunami death toll sadly is rising as we thought it would. 82 dead, dozens missing after tsunami slams into Samoan Islands, flattening those villages, sucking people out a mile into the, going rather inland, the tsunami wave a mile. So you can imagine with the cars and the people and just very, very sad, sad tale reminiscent of what happened in Pawtucket a couple of years ago in that December where so many were vacationing and then there was villagers and they were stunned. But when you have an earthquake that's 8.3 on the Richter scale, often, especially near islands, that's what's going to happen there with not much warning. In the meantime, the health care debate couldn't rage any stronger or the midnight oil burn any brighter, I think, in the Capitol. No public option. That was the vote. The Senate panel defeated the government-run health care deal. So for now, for those who thought it was bogus, you can breathe a sigh of relief. But there are others that think it's bogus not to have a bill in it with the public option. 800-259-5791. You can chime in on any or all of this. Rocket's listening to us in Missouri. Hey, Rocket.
How you doing, Kate? Long time no rap.
Yeah, I'm glad you called, buddy. What's shaking in your neck of the woods?
Well, the St. Louis Cardinals are going to be in the World Series with the Yankees.
I know.
I'm predicting they'll be in the series with the Yankees and that Molina will be the MVP for the series.
Ooh, so you're thinking positive thoughts. Like,
no,
you're putting it out there in the universe. Good
my
for
boys,
you.
My boys, I'm a St. Louis boy, so you know. What can I say? One of the reasons I called, you know, it's interesting that we get a report on the tsunami, which is really sad on the amount of people that are killed, but yet the media darling Obama that kills people daily, innocent women and children, that he started 3 days after his election in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and parts of Iraq and now Somalia, the media covers up. And it's you have to go to alternative news to find out how the death toll is rising.
Mm.
And I think, not to mention, you know, the innocent people that are being killed over in this country, because everybody knows, they know history, that Afghanistan's a no-win. It just,
yeah.
I mean, all we have to do is read Alexander the Great, the three lost wars in the British Empire, at Khyber Pass, and the Soviet Union. It's a no-win. You know, you might as well just, you're fighting on the moon. You know, it's just, it's crazy. And from a financial standpoint, I think it's a direct connection with healthcare. And that is that, you know, as Fulbright used to say, a billion here and a billion there adds up to real money. We're wasting, you know, Obama, when he first got in, he passed a bill for $98 billion for the Pentagon and for the military.
Sure.
I mean, if you take that money and plus, you know, all the corporate fraud, waste, abuse, corporate welfare, all the stuff that Nader's documented in his consumer reports, plus the $250 billion that is wasted in billing in medical alone, you really wouldn't have to raise taxes to have serious national health care. I'm not talking about the Obama plan. The Obama plan
is
patronizing insurance companies and, you know, the AMA. I'm talking about an actual provisional health care that – see, that's why – I, as a hard leftist in the Nader camp, back the anti-tax revolt people, because the anti-tax revolt people are right. They have a righteous anger on how their tax money is being wasted.
Right.
We don't.
I agree with you.
We need to reallocate the funds that are being wasted, especially corporate bailouts, and take that money and take the money that's being wasted on the military, because I truly believe that our military people should be on the border and not in another country. We need that. That will deal with a lot of our border problems, and reallocate that toward real human needs in America. So I guess maybe that puts me in the America First camp. I don't know, but
no. I agree with a lot of what you're saying. The problem is that it makes too much sense. So instead, because of who they owe favors to, they being those in the White House, like you said, the corporate welfare, it's not going to stop. They're not going to not do that. I mean, even the agreement with Big Pharma before the whole healthcare thing was rammed down everyone's throat, the big power play there, it's very obvious. You're right. If you reallocated things, if you sat down and did that, there would be a way to pay for it. Absolutely. I completely agree with you. You know, that's why I think you find whether somebody is extremely left, extremely right, somewhere in between, independent, whatever, you can tell the frustration level has more than bubbled over
And last time I called you, I told you that myself, as a leftist that has worked on the Nader campaign for many years for president, has, you know, I put a hearty amen to those people that were out there raising hell.
That's right.
You know, at the town hall meetings, and there was a reason why, because of the candidates and third parties that were expressing their feelings, whether they be libertarian, constitutionalist, left, right, whatever, were muzzled, and where you don't have candidates' rights, you don't have voters' rights. And they were not giving the expression They weren't allowed, not allowed in debates, you know, things like this. And so I
right.
think, so I think, but I just want to leave you with one thing. Not all government programs have been a failure.
Okay, but name the ones that you think really, honestly, rocket that have been very successful.
I
said Medicare was great, but now, of course, it's going
say,
to the dogs.
I would say there's no question that Head Start started off right, but it needed to be amended, and that's why Nixon put Moynihan along with a conservative to hammer that out. I think OSHA, I think EPA, this is all under Nixon, the Disabled Act of 1973 has held up pretty well. I would say, as far as under FDR, you're probably right about SSI 1935, but I would have to go with FDIC in 1933 because of the $100,000 in the bank that you're at least
to back up your money, yeah.
Right, and I would say that the Food and Drug Act. I mean, so that we know what we're, you know, there's certain we know. I wouldn't look at it as a program, but I think it was a good act. You know, when Upton Sinclair wrote The Jungle, that we know what we're going to buy that's in these foods, you know. But I would say the EPA and the CCC were for their time, I think they were good. I'm not a big government guy. I know it sounds strange, and it sounds like I am. I'm not.
I know, but here's what I like what you're saying. You're right. For their time, and then the time expires, and it goes to the dogs. I mean, this is what I'm saying. You have something that starts off strong, and then it fizzles. So what is with what's wrong with government that they can't continue to successfully take a program that they that starts off a little bit stronger and keep it going and run it, you know, all the way down the tracks and get stronger and bigger and better? For some reason, that doesn't happen. I mean, is it the bureaucracy, the red tape, the switching of personnel?
I think that we are under full-fledged corporate occupied territory,
and
the little guy gets screwed.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
The only, and I've told you before when I've called that I think that unless we get an independent like Michael Bloomberg in the White House, somebody that can say you don't own me, you don't own me. This concept, I like this idea of. I know it's strange, but I like this idea of these righteous billionaires getting together and saying we're going to take you on. You know, I know it's not, it's odd. It's an odd concept, but I like the concept because. Somebody has to fight. I can't see any other way at this point. You know, and
I agree. You know, here's what I agree with. It's like Perot when Perot was running.
Yeah.
Hey, Perot had all the money. So whether you thought he was looked like a turtle with big ears and had some ideas you didn't like or did like, in fact, some of the things he said about finances and what should happen and what was ridiculous actually came true.
Well, what
if you
Nancy?
Go back.
He was NAFTA. He hit the nail on the head about NAFTA.
Yeah, absolutely.
The outsourcing of jobs because of, you know, and he had backing from grassroots right and left.
Yep.
The key is, I think, and I'll wrap up with this, I think the key is that don't let them divide and conquer us. Those of us from the left and those of us from the right that are not going to buy into we are, you and I have one thing in common. We are a part of the resistance movement against this president.
That's right.
And what we have to do is join forces on what we can agree on. There's things we can't agree on. Fine. Leave those aside. Let's work on what we can agree on. You know, like Mark, I have more in common with Mark in New York than I do with these typical liberals where I live. They're supporting Obama.
Right. Exactly. And because also, too, they're not taking a close look at what's happened so far and seeing some of the flip-flopping and the bailouts that continue and the stimulus and the deal with pharma.
I think that this war in Afghanistan could break the spell, but the media is not showing us what's really happening over there. They show us about the tsunami, and thank God they do, but they are...
Not the other stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Hey, if St. Louis wins, you'll get another call from me.
All right, go St. Louis. Although, you know, I'm a Phillies fan, so I'm just being nice to you. Thanks, Rocket. Good caller always. Coming up on the flip side, we have news you can abuse, birthdays, and this day in history, plus the blunder of the day. Stay with us.
A Attention landscapers, house painters, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, gutter cleaners, and anyone who has their own home service business. Would you love to build a huge and loyal customer base fast? Well, now you can. Introducing the Magic Yellow Flyer. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. Get new customers and build a solid customer base. Throw away all of the other ineffective and expensive advertising methods. You need the Magic Yellow Flyer. Corporate America is destroying our country, and it's time to rebuild the backbone of America. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Don't have a home business? The Magic Yellow Flyer comes with 15 hot home businesses that you can start at a minimum cost. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com. That's MagicYellowFlyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com.
eCigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you, and will save you right around 50% over smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting eCigarettesNational.com. That's the letter E, CigarettesNational.com. eCigarettesNational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
When looking at your personal preparedness level, remember the freeze-dried guy. During times of physical and emotional stress like the uncertain times we live in today, it is vital that you not alter your diet too much. You should only store what you usually eat, because one day you may have to eat only what you have stored. Lucky for you, there's the freeze-dried guy. Featuring the superior nutrition and taste you've come to expect, the freeze-dried guy has a wide variety of choices in freeze-dried foods. All freeze-dried foods are no-cook products, requiring only hot water and a few minutes of your time. The freeze-dried guy has been serving various government agencies as well as the private sector with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. Consider the technological advances made in computers from the punch card days of the 60s and 70s to the high-speed personal computers of today. Comparably, the advances made in food storage from the World War II era till now are equally great. Visit the website at www.freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663.
September 30th. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America. Tonight's stretch drive time. We're headed for the finish line. If we go back to 1955, James Dean died. The cagey movie star was just 24 years old. He crashed in a car on a California highway. He was driving his Porsche Spyder. You know, I've actually been to that spot, and they just have like a little marker thing there, and people come by and take pictures. It's kind of, it's not in a remote area, but it's out there. And James Dean now, in his death, is still a big seller with the posters and other things with his likeness on it. He was just 24 years old. We have some other fun facts about what happened in this day in history. Plus, of course, those famous birthdays. Who is celebrating another year on the planet? Well, Jenna Elfman, and she's in a new television series, I think. Remember, she was part of that Dharma and Greg television show that was popular for a while? She is 38 years old. There's an actor that I really like. Remember, he was in the movie Mask with Cher? Eric Stoltz is celebrating a big birthday, and The Nanny is celebrating a birthday. I'll tell you about that coming up. Plus, this day, this not this day in history, because we already said that. This day in history, of course we have that. I gave you one of the big ones with James Dean. But we also have news you can abuse. There's some funny stuff there. This wasn't funny, however. It counts as the blunder of the day. Hugh Jackman, you know him as Wolverine and this slew of other roles, of course, that he's played. He's on Broadway right now with James Bond in kind of a serious, it's a serious play. I mean, there might be light moments, but it's really a lot of dialogue. And here's what happened to set him off when someone in the audience was very, very bad.
I still see his face. All the time, his face. You want to get that? You want to get it? Grab it. I don't care. Grab it. Grab your phone. Doesn't matter. Come on, just turn it off. Come on.
You got
a better story. You want to get on dirty stories? Can you get that? Whatever that is, can you get it? You can wait. Just get the phone. Don't be embarrassed. Just grab all the phones. Just grab your phone.
All right, so you could hear that. Hopefully you could hear that, because, of course, it was taped in the theater. Somebody had their cell phone up. But what happened was, you in the background, you heard that little buzz. The cell phone goes off. What is? I don't understand the whole cell phone etiquette thing. I mean, hey, it could happen to somebody where you honestly, legitimately forget. But, you know, in church, in the movies, at a Broadway play, and with the crazy ringtones or how loud some of the phones are, you have got to turn your cell phone off. Just turn it off. Vibrate works. Everybody is a texting fool these days. It's inexcusable, especially when you think about what people pay as tourists or even people that live in the city or whatever. To go to a Broadway play, half the time most of the tickets are about $100 and or more. $100 is almost the cheap seats, or if you get lucky and you get halfers where you go and buy it the day of and somebody's turned their tickets in or whatever. So needless to say, that kind of ruins the experience. He has to break character, but what was he going to do? The thing was ringing, and it was just too loud, and he was right in the front. So good for Hugh Jackman, who actually, so the blunder of the day goes to the idiot in the audience, but he was actually pretty cordial to the guy. Supposedly that's happened to other people, and they tear into them, some of the actors on the stage, because it really, really throws them off, since every single night, even though they're doing the same thing, every performance is a little bit different. Quickly, here's some of that good old news you can abuse. I don't understand this about Starbucks. I mentioned it earlier on in the show. Starbucks is saying you're not going to have to get in line for this one. They're going to go with some instant coffee, and they say it's just as good as brewed. They're buying their first ever TV ads ever, because they haven't had any, to make the point about the instant coffee. So they'll have to pay a premium for the Starbucks instant. It's going to sell for about $1 a cup, while, of course, the home-brewed cup of coffee can be made for just pennies on the dollar. Just pennies. You know, I've never gotten a home one. How many of you out there occasionally and would just be beyond, you know, all get it, just go nuts if you actually got a hole in one? This is a very tough thing to do, but it seems like people either get them or they don't. My grandfather, who's 93, you've heard me mention him before in the show, lives in Florida. He, in his time of golfing, he doesn't golf anymore, but he got five holes in one on various courses, two on the same in Medford Lakes, New Jersey, but because I remember him telling those stories. But Fargo, North Dakota, a pair of aces is a pretty good poker hand, but it is unbelievable when it comes to golf. North Dakota duffer Troy Rademacher sank two holes in one in the same round. His aces came on the 5th and the 15th holes at Oxbow Country Club. He says he's still having a hard time believing he got double aces. Golf Digest, to show you how rare that is, calculates the odds of two holes in one in the same round at 67 million. Did you hear me? 67 million to one. Stanford University law grad Christina Warthen won't be getting any clients. She has to serve a year of home detention. Why? She was working as a hooker. She pleaded guilty to failing to pay taxes on her income as an escort. Federal judge yesterday ordered her to wear an electronic monitoring device while serving her sentence. She also has to pay the government about $243,000. So she must have been a high-priced escort, let's say, if that's what the fee is that she's got to pay. How about this day in history? It's always fun to look back on what happened in the past. I told you about James Dean. A couple of other quick things that are worth mentioning in a couple of different areas, if you will, and that includes the Munich Pact being signed in 1938, and if we jump forward to 1962, riots over the desegregation of Ole Miss. Obviously, that was very, very huge, sad moment. Certainly, if we look back. If you look back at the crime files in 1994, a Texas college student killed his ex-girlfriend, and it was so bloody and so awful, the scene. It made huge national headlines. From the entertainment world, in 1930, Louis Armstrong arrived in New York, and, of course, there's another guy where you've got lots of likenesses of Louis Armstrong on mugs and T-shirts and all that sort of stuff. From the book world, in 1868, the first volume ever of Little Women was published. I actually read that book when I was a kid. From the Old West, in 1889, Wyoming legislators wrote the first state constitution to grant women the vote, the right to vote. How about those birthdays? Cue up that music, maestro, if you would. Eric Stoltz, I told you about him. He's been in a lot of indie movies lately. He was incredible in The Mask back in 1985. He is 48 years old. Martina Hingis, tennis champ that started with a Grand Slam junior title at the age of 12. She was plagued by some physical problems, then calls that she was doing some cocaine. She was not popular to begin with on the tour, but then people embraced her comeback. Also celebrating a birthday, Kieran Culkin, Macaulay Culkin's brother, who played his cousin in Home Alone, 27 years old. That's how you know you're getting old, when all those kids from those shows are older. Marilyn McCoo, 66 years old. She sang with her husband, of course, Billy Davis Jr. They had a lot of hits. It Takes Two is one that comes to mind. Would be celebrating a birthday if he were still alive. Rumi. You know who Rumi is? The 802. Somebody told me about him the other day. An ancient mystic and scholar who was born in Afghanistan. Truman Capote, God rest his soul, 85. If he were still walking the earth, he was the author of Breakfast at Tiffany's, and the book that I